country. KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning, and it is a beautiful, crisp, clear Sunday morning in May. Someone told me this last week that the Memorial Weekend, which this is about as beautiful a weather as we get relative to the state of flowers and leaves. It's just glorious, and it's all downhill after that. I hope that's not true. I would like to talk more than today. I guess I'm always talking about this subject, love. I guess you could say it's the theme of my life. I've been fascinated with love, I think, even in the womb, because I'm a twin. And the earliest pictures of me and my brother, fraternal twins, it seemed like I always had my arm on him. And I have such memories of that bond and that essential caring. Yeah, love is the most fascinating subject of my life. I've written about it. I've preached about it. And ultimately what I want to talk about is the ultimate love, which is God's love, the love of God, the love who is the God who is the love. There are four words for love in the Greek language, in the New Testament written in Greek. And I suppose many of you have heard of these four words before. C.S. Lewis wrote extensively about the four love words, among others. Eros, storge, philia, and agape. Eros is actually Greek god of the god of love, but it means passion, desire, not necessarily a physical or sexual passion. It could also mean a desire for God, but it's that which begins as a hunger, a thirst, a yearning. And then we go and we seek to fulfill that yearning. So it's possible for a person to say, oh, I love you, and mean really, I desire you, I want you. That may not be all there is to love, I hope. That's what Abraham Maslow, the psychologist, called a D-love, for deprivation love. It's I want, I need what it is I do not have. Storge is family love, the love of spouses for each other, the love of children for their parents, parents for their children. It's based on cherishing, caring for well-being, and so forth. And then there's philia, which means a love of friendship. And that was the highest form of love in the Greek secular culture. In fact, friendship was more important than storge. You know, we see that in some of the Latino cultures today, that the highest form of love is friendship. Aristotle said that friends are two somas with one psyche, two bodies with one soul. That level of sharing, of friendship. Then there's this other strange word, agape, which happens to be used almost exclusively in the ancient Greek-speaking world in the New Testament. It's like a new word, and it refers specifically to God's love. So most of the time, not always in the New Testament, when the word love is used, the word that is used is agape. An agape is a love of fullness. Imagine, if you will, being wealthier than, say, a Warren Buffett, and having so much money that your concern is giving it away. So supposedly, Mr. Buffett is one of those persons who has said that before he dies, he's going to give everything away. Maybe, have you heard that Bradway, yeah. And Bloomberg, whatever, he used to be mayor, is also a billionaire, used to be the mayor of New York City, said that he wants the check to pay for his funeral to bounce. Yeah. Well, agape is a love when you have and you want to give. It's just, look, I've got so much, would you take it? Or an analogy that's been used that I rather like is imagine filling a cup with a pitcher. Just a little cup, and then the big pitcher just keeps pouring and pouring on to that little cup. What's going to happen sooner or later? It's going to overflow. That's when you get agape. It's a love of fullness, a love of having. It's a love that is so focused on the loving that it's not about you or me. It's about just take it, receive it. I have so much. Don't worry about thanking me for this money. Oh, thank you, Mr. You know, Bumberger. No, take it. I remember only once in all my years, and I was a psychologist at the time, teaching at Iowa Wesleyan College, and I had a four-week course in human communication. We were working toward a 12-hour marathon, sensitivity group type stuff, where we were going to really get to know each other and share whatever we were comfortable sharing. And it started right after lunch and went on until after midnight that night. Well, by 10 o'clock that night, the strangest thing happened. There was such love filling the room. It was infectious. It was overwhelming that someone said, and then we all agreed, we should go out into this in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. We should go out into the streets and find somebody and bring them in so that they could have some of this. This overflow. Love from abundance. Unconditional. Overflowing. Love that if you love a person from fullness for who they are, it's almost a selfless love. Or I hate to use the word disinterested, but sometimes that's the word that's used. It's not that you don't care, but it's disinterested in the sense that it doesn't necessarily involve your being. Your being is full. You love someone for who they are, not for what they can do for you, right? Not for what life would be like without them, because that gets into needs and relational wants, and these are all important. But no, this kind of love, this love of God that we need to understand that what's going in the New Testament, what's been my experience, is a love that when God draws near to you, and I'm one of those blessed that God has drawn near to me, it's just like that wonderful pitcher pouring love into you until you have excess, and then you begin to get it. The Apostle Paul talks about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians. And back when I first became a Christian, I encountered the Holy Spirit in a prayer meeting, and it changed my life. And I was 24. And I wanted to know, because I had been an agnostic, and I wanted to know, where in the Bible is this reported? Because I was at Drake University getting a master's in behavioral science and psychology. Well, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. So I read about these wonderful charisma. I talked last time about grace, charisma. Charis is grace, charisma is a gift of grace. They all have gifts of grace. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, everybody gets a gift of grace, or gifts of grace, knowledge, healing, prophecy. There are many gifts. There are nine listed there. And then at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, now wait a minute. The greatest gifts, the most important gifts, are faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And the word he uses is agape. If you are going to ask for something, yes, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing. Wouldn't it be great to be able to put your hands on someone and they're healed? But the greatest thing to ask for is love. And the word that he uses is agape. And he launches into the greatest discussion on the nature of God's love in the whole of the Bible. I have read this passage. It's only 13 verses. And many weddings. So before I begin, I want you to understand that the word that's being used is agape. It's not just eros, not just physical love, erotic love, not just family love, something even greater than friendship, because friendship is a relationship where there's always need somewhere. Hey, let's spend some time together. I really would like to talk to you. Could we go out and play golf together? Whatever it is, because that being together. But agape is this enormous gift, the ultimate gift to ask of God. And now, wait a minute. If faith, hope, and love are gifts, that means you can't necessarily get it just of your own will. You can't get blood from a stone. In my years in the parish, I've seen so many people who think that faith is up to them, hope is up to them, that love is something that they have to produce in themselves rather than receive. But today and the next few Sundays, I want to talk about the miracle of love that is received. That in the beginning is baptism. It's like a Christian not being baptized, and what you receive in baptism is this love of God, this agape. And that begins to make sense of what it means to be Christian. I remember shortly after I became a Christian in a church service, and the song that was sung was, "They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love." And I thought, oh, that's a beautiful song. How true is it? How true is it? Too often, Christians are those who are in debates about this or that theological, sociological, sexual, heterosexual, homosexual. It's a place to debate rather than to learn how to love. So listen to these words. In fact, before I do that, I think now would be a good time to get a little weather break.
This is your home in the country. KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Your local weather forecast brought to you by Sprouse Distributing, the home of Pepsi and the official sponsor of the KWPC Green Room. Our guests get treated thanks to Sprouse Distributing.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Mainly sunny today with daytime highs approaching 82. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 62. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs around 85. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Wake up with KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1. We've got the ag reports you want to hear.
Are we back now?
We're back.
All right. Well, good. I'm not sure I'm recording here. Hold on, I got this set. So I'm ready, I hope, after all this time, to read 1 Corinthians 13, 1-13. I'm just going to read it first. Then I'd like to talk just a little bit about it. And as I read this, I can only ask you to imagine what it would be like to be full of agape love. To receive God's love and to be so full, just pure and simple, baptized into it, that you were able to love this way. Paul begins by talking about the fact that without this, it doesn't matter what else you do. We're taught love covers a multitude of sins. That's an understatement. if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, do not have this agape gift of God, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, these are the gifts, by the way, that had been spoken of in the previous chapter, chapter 12. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, which, of course, Jesus says to us, if you had enough faith, you'd say to that mountain, go and go into the sea, and it would move into the sea. Well, that's incredible. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, that's big, right? Give everything away, sell everything, as Jesus says. And if I hand over my body so that I may boast, other translations say my body to be burned. I mean, what else can you do? I give everything away. I give my body to be burned or crucified, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Do you hear that preached very much? I don't think so. So, what is this love without which you gain nothing? Here it is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love, this is the love of God. So you could say God is patient. God is kind. Because God is love. Which is what we learned twice in 1 John 4 that we'll get to. Love is patient. I may not be. Are you patient? But love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. You and I may, but love says, no. If you love and listen to me, you will want what I want. St. Augustine, when asked to summarize the faith, said, love God and do as you please. But if you really love God, you want to do as God is pleased. You want to do what pleases God. Love does not insist in its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Here's my favorite part. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Well, I've done hundreds of weddings, and that's my favorite part, reading to a couple. Looking at them, wondering what they have facing them, right? And their years ahead. But emphasizing to them, wanting to say to them, listen, hang in there, because this gift of God that you have, your romantic love, which is a gift of God, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Just hang in there. Love never ends. What? Yeah. You know, if you really love, it'll pass the test of time, folks. How many times has someone said to you, or whatever, give it time. Give it time. Real love does not walk away. It doesn't go. Now, you can love someone but not be able to be in a relationship with them because love is not enough. So So you may not be able to access, walk into the door of caring because the house of the relationship has been burned and the marriage is over or the relationship is over. But somewhere in you is that little residue of love. Sad though it might be, not a happy love. Okay, so love never ends. Now Paul's going to go back to talk about some of the other gifts of the Spirit that people want and were asking for and that he talked about in the 12th chapter. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, the gift of tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Well, this gives something to shoot for, some way to gauge when, in fact, my friends, you are in a state of having received, and it's a daily thing. This isn't just a one-time operation, like, you know, putting gas in your car and thinking, well, okay, I can just keep driving now because I put gas in my car. You're going to have to fill it up again. And then you're going to have a pattern of how often you receive love. And I'm going to say more about how the importance of receiving love and how to receive the love of God. That's the way in as Christians. That's the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, the love of God that begins our very walk with God. In the time remaining, I'm going to read another passage about this love of God from John, 1 John 4:7-21. These are remarkable words, as remarkable as 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm sort of leading into a series about the nature of God's love, how you receive it, how you share it, and how you give it, and what Christian life is all about. They will know we are Christians by our love, that this is it. This is it. That, and I'll hopefully help you to understand how important this is. To love as Jesus loves is the goal of Christian life. Do you believe that? Not to have the right attitude, not just to have great beliefs, not just to do this and do that, and, oh, I did this ministry, and I helped this person, and I gave this. Those are all nice. But to follow what Jesus says in John 15, another one we'll get to, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Love one another as I have loved you. What does that mean? That's what I want to present to you. So here is John, the same writer of the Gospel of John, in the first of his letters in the 4th chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, I believe that, by the way, to be true about love, period, whether a person may be a Christian or not. If love is there, God is there. Do you agree with that? If love is not there, they may use the word of God, but God is love. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved, but that he loved us and sent his love to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's another whole bailiwick. The point is, his love corrected everything, forgave us, so that we can enter into this love relationship that God seeks with us. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. The word for perfected there means becomes mature. His love is matured in us. If we love one another, God lives in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and also testified that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and there's a second time. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The word for abide is meno in the Greek, by the way, and it means stay, remain, stay there. Don't move. Just be there, stay there, abide. Love has been perfected, matured among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. Here's my favorite verse of this chapter. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. And again, the word for perfection, teleios in the Greek, means becoming complete, mature. It does not mean sinless. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Wouldn't you say fear is punishing? Debilitating, demoralizing. Anxiety is a killer. Not necessarily physically, but of our capacity to be open and to love and to live. You can't fear love. I mean, you can't have love and fear at the same time. Try it. Whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he loved us first. That's the beginning and the heart of it. God's love, it's all from the top down. We love because he loved us first. So if that's true, then maybe we ought to get in touch with that love with which he loves us, which might enable us to love God back with that very love with which he loves us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. It's really a lot about a love story. Okay, by the way, if you'd like to hear this show again, and what's beginning as kind of a series, and I'm going to go places, folks, dealing with the meaning of the love of God and how it is that you can receive it, what it's like to receive it, how it will affect your life, how important it is to share that love, and that's really the heart of Christian community, and then to give that love to others, which is our mission as Christians. It's beautiful stuff. If you have any questions about God, about religion, anything, would you please ask me? Write me at Dr. Hal Green at Gmail, DrHalGreen at Gmail, and I will respond. I won't have to use your name. If you got questions, I've been at this business for a long time. I understand some things, and if I don't know, I'm sure going to do my best to find the answer. Also, if you'd like to hear this show, I will have it later on my website, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Or if you like, you can send a text here to the station by calling 563-263-8600. I love questions. I'm a college teacher. I've taught at three different colleges. Every year I was in the parish, I was teaching. I'm a teacher at heart. I love questions. Hey, if you don't have a question, how are you going to recognize an answer? There are no questions that shouldn't be asked. Questions are good things, especially if you're open to the answer. You know, there are two kinds of doubt. There's the doubt that makes you seek the answer, and then there's the doubt that makes you walk away. I've had people say, I doubt God, and walk away, which is really stupid because it's the only game in town. Only one God. Or people doubt and then seek the answer. Like, for example, you go to bed tonight, and then you wonder, did I lock my car? I'm not sure I locked my car. What are you going to do, roll over? No, you're going to get up and check it. Yeah, that's good doubt. God bless you. Have a good week, and hopefully, I'll talk to you next week. Blessings.
Broadcasting live from the Muscatine Hy-Vee Studios, KWPC Muscatine, AM 860, K236 CF, Muscatine, FM 95.1.